قال الله سبحانه وتعالى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم وأن سفيان بن عبد الله الثقفي رضي الله عنه قال يا رسول الله قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا بعدك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام students in Islam brothers and elders Alhamdulillah we have gathered here for the beginning of this Jalsa and it is the day of Friday as well Allah grant us the true spirit of istiqamah that we every Friday that we recite abundance of durood and salawat and salam upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This actually is a special ibadah on the day of Friday. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned akthiru. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word akthiru aliyya. That increase of salawat and salam. In other words, every day we're supposed to read salawat and salam. But on the day of Friday, we need to dedicate more time, more durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And wallah, the durood and salam is so valuable and it adds value to our ibadat. It pulls all our ibadat in line. Our Shaykh Hazrat Muhammad Amir Sahib gives an example. He says that you go to the airport and that big, mighty jumbo plane, whether it is the A380 or whether it is a small plane, then you will find a tug. The tug actually pushes the plane onto the tarmac. Or you go to the harbor, you find those massive cruise liners, those ships. And to pull it into the ocean, then you have these tugboats. So those tugboats or the tugs that are used in the airports are very, very small, but very, very powerful. So this durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is extremely powerful. It adds value to all our ibadat. It brings all our ibadat in line. So Allah grant us the tawfiq, inshallah, that every day we recite salawat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Shaykh al-Hadith mentioned an incident in Fadali durood, we get Fadali amal, Fadali sadaqat. One kitab as the Shaykh has authored Fadali durood, the virtues of durood and salawat. So in there he mentions about a person who will come on Allah Ta'ala will summon him on the day of Qiyamah. So this person will be a great sinner, gunegar. And Allah Ta'ala will tell all the malaika, that Ummah malaika, enumerate and count all this person's gunas. Whatever gunas this person done, all his minor sins, his major sins, his sins done knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, those sins done in public or in private, during the darkness of the night or the brightness of the day. So all the sins, obviously, well, everything is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows everything. So the malaika start counting all his gunas. So after they count, they come to a certain figure. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the malaika, now count all the salawat and salam this person is to recite. When you are small, when you are of age, in salah, out of salah, whilst walking, whilst driving, whilst lying down, whilst sitting, all the durood, all the different durood and salawat. So they also come to a certain figure. So Allah Ta'ala tells the malaika, Umma malaika, now compare which is more. Is his sins more, or the salawat and salam, durood that he recites upon the Prophet more? So the malaika will come to this conclusion that the salawat and salam exceeds that more than of the compared to his durood. Allah Ta'ala will tell the malaika that Umma malaika, don't take further reckoning. Take this person, put him into Jannah. So Allah grant us the true ishq and love for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also it is the day of Friday. And the day of Friday, we are encouraged to recite Surah Kaf. There are so many narrations, so much of fadilat regarding Surah Kaf. And one common aspect in all the hadith, the word Noor has been mentioned. For example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned whoever reads the opening verses of Surah Kaf and the concluding verses of Surah Kaf, then a Noor will emanate from his feet towards his head. And whoever recites the entire Surah Kaf, then from his feet right towards the heaven, towards the skies. Another narration is mentioned that from where he is, right till Makkah al-Mukarramah. And also another narration that Noor, inshallah, will shine for him on the day of Qiyamah. Nooruhum yas'a nooruhum bayna idihim wa bi imanihim bushraqum al-yawm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that this Noor will come in front of him and it will shine like a person has his car, he has a headlight, his spotlight, whatever. And then he can see the road, he can travel very, very nicely. So on the day of Qiyamah, on the Sirat, that light will help us, inshallah. The light of Salawat, the light of Surah Kaf, inshallah. It is mentioned of Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullahi, mentions the incident, a person by the name of Saifuddin. He mentioned one occasion he went out in the desert and he came across a cemetery, a Qabristan, and he saw the great Ibn al-Daqiq al-Eid, rahmatullahi, that he was standing in the Qabristan by a particular Qabr. And he was crying and making dua for the inmate of the Qabr. So Allama Saifuddin asked him, that why are you standing at this particular person's Qabr? Who is this person and why are you crying? So he said that this person that has passed away in this Qabr is my student. He has learned Quran from me. And last night I saw him in a dream. And I asked him, after he had passed away, how did you feel? So he explained that because of my sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a predatory animal like a dog to come and intimidate me, to come and threaten me. So I was in that fear and I was worried what's going to happen to me. That dog is going to attack me. That dog is going to intimidate me and threaten me. So just then, a person with a handsome figure stands up. And this person comes and he chases the dog away. And he comes and he comforts and consoles this person. So this person asks that, who are you? So he said, I am the embodiment or the personification of the Surah Kaf that you used to recite every Friday in this world. So this has come to as a savior. And has come as a means of protection. So Allah grant us the tawfiq. Our Shaykh Muhammad Hamid Sahib explains that every day, we should make it our duty to recite, read the first 10 verses of Surah Kaf and the last 10 verses of Surah Kaf. We are living in such a time of Dajjaliyat. And all the agents of Dajjal are present in different forms, different attractions and distractions. And these fitnas have come like an avalanche upon us. So to protect us, yeah, we should try and read every day, inshallah, the first 10 verses and the last 10 verses of Surah Kaf, and make it our duty that every Friday we read the entire Surah Kaf. The person who reads the Surah Kaf would be saved from the fitna of Dajjal, be saved from Dajjal himself. So by us reading this, inshallah, a person will not be caught up in the fitnas that of today. All the fitnas in different forms, in different names, and in different ways that are approaching us. So Allah grant us the tawfiq that we read Surah Kaf every Friday, inshallah. Respected brothers and elders, the theme of this jalsa is istiqamat. One thing notable is that the jalsa itself is something which is also part of istiqamat. From the inception of the madrasa, alhamdulillah, Allah reward our Shaykh, Hazrat Muhammad Nabeer Sahib, that for so many years, maybe plus minus 4 decades, plus minus over 40 years, jalsas has been taking place. And even during the COVID period, jalsa has taken place. And at that during that period, you know what was the halat and condition, that our masajid were closed and the people were in a different environment, and the protocol and the authorities. But yes, alhamdulillah, the jalsa had taken place. So even today, the jalsa is taking place. And this jalsa is not for entertainment. That this 48 hours from Jummah right till Sunday, Yawmul Ahad till Zuhar, different topics are being discussed every year. And this is an adult information that will enhance our ilm and knowledge, and to bring to aware to bring some awareness amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the different trials and tribulations. So this is also an istiqamah. So Allah grant us the true istiqamah, the true spirit of istiqamah that we see today, this jalsa taking place. This is also an evident sign of istiqamah and steadfastness. Respected brothers, what is istiqamah? Many a time we ask people, oh Allah, grant us istiqamah. We go to our buzurugs, oh Allah, we ask them, make dua, Allah grant us steadfastness, istiqamah. So, as Umar radiallahu anhu mentions, Umar radiallahu anhu was that Sahabi radiallahu anhu, on occasion, the emperor of Rome, Herakl, he wanted to know more about Umar radiallahu anhu. So he asked one Sahabi radiallahu anhu, that described to me in a nutshell, what was the character of Umar radiallahu anhu. So the Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, Umar radiallahu anhu is that, la yakhda wa la yukhda. That he is such a personality, neither does he deceive, and neither would he be deceived. So when the emperor heard this, subhanallah, he said, in this one statement of yours, that la yakhda, he does not deceive, it shows the perfection of his deen, of Umar radiallahu anhu. And wala yukhda, and neither is he deceived, this shows the sign of his intelligence. And if a person who has perfection in his deen, in his religion, and his intelligence, then this person, no harm can come to him. That is Umar radiallahu anhu. So what explanation did he give? He says, al-istiqama an tastaqima ala al-amri wa al-nahi. That you remain steadfast upon the commands of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to do, we remain steadfast on those things. And those things that Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us to leave out and to stay away from, then we stay away from that, to remain steadfast on that. And thereafter he mentions that a person should not go beyond that and look for escape routes or loopholes in Sharia. So unfortunately, person goes for fatwa shopping to suit his wounds and his fancies. Why? Because he doesn't understand. Deen is not confined and subject to our logic or to our emotions. Our intelligence and our emotions should always be under the Sharia. The Sharia should always govern our intellect, our emotions. Never it should be the other way around. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawa'u tab'an ma jitu bih. Or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person will not have perfect iman until and unless he subjects his desires to which I have brought. The Quran, the teachings of the Quran, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the person remains steadfast on this, on deen, on the commands of Allah, the provisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person shouldn't look for loopholes, look for escape routes, so that he can enjoy himself. Istiqamah, respective brothers, is something which is very comprehensive. It revolves around every aspect, every facet, every sphere of our life. The various departments of our deen and sharia, the five branches of deen, our aqaid, our ibadat, our mu'amalat, mu'asharat, and our akhlaq. So this five departments, five branches of being, that the person should remain steadfast. What will happen is when we go away from istiqamat, sometimes a person does things with good intentions, but is not conforming to the Sharia. He thinks he is being rewarded, whereas he is sinful in what he is doing, even though he might have good intentions. So istiqamat in every aspect of our life, especially as a team of the Jalsa, steadfastness in a time of trials and tribulations, more so now that a person should remain steadfast on deen, on the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I mentioned, all the different branches of deen. And one ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, of Surah Hud, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Who is being addressed? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَدْغَوْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but those who made tawbah, and wala tadghaw, and do not exceed the bounds. And thereafter Allah ta'ala in a few verses after mentions, wala tarkanu, they do not incline to the wrongdoers. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi mentions that this deen is between the two laws, or is based on the two laws. That la tadghaw, and wala tarkanu. La tadghaw, we do not exceed the bounds in Sharia. So yeah, again, saddidu wa qaribu. That a person should have moderation. There should be balance in everything that we do. There should be no ifrat and tafreet, no excess and deficiencies, no additions and no deletions. Absolute moderation and justice. And a person should have moderation and balance in our deen. This is what is required. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told here, فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, before that Mufti Shafi Sahib explained, that if a person has a vertical object, example like a pillar, like a steel object, and cast in iron, then they will find there's engineers, there's architects, they will make sure it sits on its right angles, and everything is correct. It does not move, it does not tilt. So that is regarded as something which is stationary, something which is static, it can't move. So he said, what to say about our object that is moving all the time, that is me and you, insan, all the time we are on the go. For us to remain steadfast is not easy. And in fact, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned regarding Sirah Hud, because of the punishments that were mentioned in Surah Hud of the previous nations and the various punishments that came upon the various people, the qawms and nations of the past. So this caused the strands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beard or his hair mubarak to become white or grey. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu thereafter mentioned that the most trying and difficult verse upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this particular verse, فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْ. So the ulama explained, Abu Ali Sirri, he once saw a dream, and he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it true that Surah Hud has caused you to become old because of the various waqiyas of the different qawms that have been mentioned and the subsequent punishments that came upon them? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, actually it's just this particular verse, فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, that remain steadfast as you have been commanded. So the ulama explained, why was this so trying for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because they mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know whether he will be in line with the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired, the level of istiqamat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously the most perfect human being was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did everything to perfection. But yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was still worried. Other ulama explained that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not only worried about of himself, he was worried about his followers. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَمَنْ تَابَ مَأَكَى, that those people who are with you and they make tawbah. So they also, whether they also will remain firm on deen, on sharia, this also was a cause of something trying for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, difficult upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Usman bin Abdullah al-Zir, rahmatullah alayhi, he once came to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and he asked him for some advice. So he told him a few advices. And he told him, Alayka bi taqwallah, that stick on, hold fast, steadfast onto taqwa, onto the righteousness, conscious Allah Ta'ala's consciousness, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal istiqamati, and to remain steadfast. Ittabi wa la tabtadi, and that you follow what? That the commands of Allah and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and wa la tabtadi, and you do not cause any innovations in Islam. So this istiqamah, the person who remains steadfast, then if he has a balanced approach and he remains steadfast on moderation, inshallah, then that such a person, he will remain on deen, inshallah. And he will be safeguarded from all of bid'at, all types of innovations. So this particular surah was very trying for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and difficult with regards to the command of fastaqim. Ulama explain also, the Sufis, they have this maqala that al-istiqamatu khayru min alfi karama. It is better than 1,000 karama. If a person has to do some extra supernatural feat he has to achieve, the people will pass comment, wah wah, look at this person. Person has to walk, fly in the air, walk on water. So yet Sufis mention, more better than this, more higher than this, is when a person remains steadfast on deen. Junayd Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, had one disciple who took pledge of allegiance on his hand. So after a few years, he decided to part company from Junayd Baghdadi, rahmatullahi. So someone asked him that what was the reason, what is the reason that you want to part company from him? So he explained that I didn't see any karamat. That normally when you think of Buzuruk, you see some karamat. And the karamat of the awliyaullah is haqq. It is 100% true, it is correct. So I said, I never witnessed anything. I never saw anything extra, supernatural. So this person asked him, that did you ever see Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi go against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In other words, did he do anything contrary to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said, yes, that is one thing I never saw. That he never ever went contrary to the teachings of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this person told him that what greater karama can be than this? That the person remains steadfast on deen and he remains steadfast on the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the ayat of the Quran, Allah promises in this one verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, that those people who say, our Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that they bring iman, they perfect their iman, and they remain steadfast. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the malaika will descend, they will come. And then what will they say? He will console, they will give glad tidings. They will comfort that person. Allah takhafu. No fear. Wala tahzanu. Do not grieve. The ulama explain, takhafu, that don't have any apprehension of the past, that your tawbah will not be accepted. Do not have this fear all his apprehensions, that you have passed, never ever you will face it again. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not grieve of what is coming forward, what you are going to see. وَأَبَشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَدُونَ, and glad tidings for the jannah which have been promised. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, we are your guardians, we are your friends, your protectors in this worldly life and in the akhirah. Yesterday we had to go to Dalimuddin for some mashwara. So I went to see Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sadiji Sahib Dal Barakatu. So I think make dua and got a talk, Juma talk, last night talk. So make dua, any advice. So Mufti Sahib quoted the verse of the Quran, the Kareem. And then he said that the Malaika, according to the Mufassirin, Abu Hayyan, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Bahr al-Muhit, etc., did mention that the Malaika will come on three occasions. One is at the time of death. At the time of death, the Malaika will come. لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا. In your qadr, in your grief, ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا. And when you be resurrected from the grave on the day of Qiyamah, again that announcement will be made. So he mentioned, and he told me, these are the three times that the Malaika will come, and you will see the Malaika. But there will be a fourth time that the Malaika will be with you, but you will never be able to see them. And that is in this world, earthly life. Then he explained, Shisab explained, that sometimes the person does a good deed, now he has some laxity in him, whether to carry on with this good deed tomorrow. So the Malaika will inspire him. The Malaika will motivate him and tell him, do this amal, don't leave it out. So many, when there is temptation to do any guna, so at that moment the Malaika will inspire him. The Malaika will motivate him. And then will tell him, don't do this, don't do that. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib mentioned, three times you will see the Malaika. That is, when at the time of death, when you are in your qabr, and when you are resurrected from your grave on the day of Qiyamah. But the fourth time the ulama mentioned, Mufti Sahib mentioned, is that while you are alive. When a person has this istiqamah, then the Malaika respected will assist that person. The Malaika will come to the fore. So it is very, very important that whatever we do, we should have steadfastness. Whatever we do, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْءُ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that those actions which are done constantly, even though it is little, but is done constantly, with steadfastness, those are the actions are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are living in such a zamana, respected brothers, where we are living in a topsy-turvy world, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the sahaba, كيف بكم, what will happen to you, my sahaba, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا وَالْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا, when you see good as evil and evil as good. Today, we know homosexuality is totally haram, and it's clear-cut nuts from the Qur'an al-Kareem. We know the incident of the Lut alayhi salam, that إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ, that I despise your actions. It is proven. But unfortunately, respected brothers, to show sympathy, solidarity for this repulsive action, immoral action, which is unnatural, this defies our commitment to deen. As the Mufti Ibrahim Sanaji Sahib also mentioned, that we normally translate istiqamah as steadfastness. So he said another good word is to use commitment. And then he explains that if a person is committed to his wife, then he will get favors from her. He will get enjoyment from her. But those favors are unlimited. Those enjoyment that a person gets is limited. So what to say when he commits himself to the Rabb of his wife, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then, respected brothers, those favors will be unlimited. Those pleasures and enjoyment will be unlimited. So unfortunately, respected brothers, we are living in such a world. The ulama explained, to consider something which is haram permissible, person can leave the fold of Islam. A person who regards an apostate, a murtad, as a Muslim, he also paves the way out of the existence of Islam. One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained so beautifully, that when any evil is committed on the earth, and a person, he witnesses it, but in his heart, he has aversion to it, he hates it, he's upset with it. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it is as if though he was absent. In other words, he's absolved that accountability. But on the other hand, when a sin is committed on the earth, and the person wasn't there, he was absent, but he's happy with it. I was just one of them explained, for example, there's a World Cup taking place in some country, and you happy with it. So here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, that person, that action, that was committed on the earth, and he was absent, but he's happy with it. It is as if though he had witnessed it. Then he will be part and parcel of that guna. So to be happy with homosexuality, which is unnatural, which is immoral, something today, the abnormal, they want to make it normal. And unfortunately, people with PhD degrees. I will say, explain what is PhD? Permanent head damage. But we really have to look deep into our Islam. Every person needs a PhD. In Islam, every person, young and old, male, female, needs a PhD. And what is this PhD? Pure, holistic deen. Pure, pristine, which is unadulterated. And holistically, in other words, in its entirety, udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter into Islam completely. We do not have certain departments or sections or segments of Islam that we, what chooses, what is like, for our liking we will choose, and what goes against our tabiat we will leave out. No, respected brothers. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Holistically, entirety, we enter into Islam. And deen, the deen of Nabi of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah gives us a warning, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ عَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That be warned, those people should take a warning, that those who oppose the laws of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they should await some fitna or some calamity to befall them, أَوْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, or a very tormentful and painful adab. Allah protect us all. So this PhD degree is respected, brothers. You know, there was one occasion, there were about four or five people discussing, like how you have little children, you know, they discuss which is the fastest car. One will say Kunase, one will say Bugatti, another will say Ferrari, Porsche, whatever it is. So these people were discussing, who were sophisticated, advanced people, BA degrees, PA degrees, that what is the fastest thing in the world? So, the first person said, it is your thought, when you think. The person thinks now, you don't even realize, you just, the thought came and it went away. So that is the fastest thing. So they said, valid, very good. So another person said, no, it's the blinking of the eye. Because I just blink now, you just blink now, you don't realize, so fast it happened. So he said, valid. So the third person said, according to me and my research, it is electricity. You just put the switch on and the light comes on. So there was one Indian man that was sleeping and he overheard all this conversation. So he also wants to put his 5 cents into the conversation. So he said, may I also contribute? So they started laughing at him, who are you? You're sweeping the floors here. What information can you give us? He said, according to me, that diarrhea is the fastest thing in the world. So they're all looking puzzled, flabbergasted. And they started laughing. He said, what are you talking about diarrhea? He said, what? So prove it to us. He said, the other day, before I could think, before I could blink, and before I could even put the lights on, my diarrhea came out. So, respected brothers, these are the PhD degrees that people have today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from getting involved in such things. We need to stick to the Quran, the teaching of the Quran, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are great rewards mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we'll mention it towards the end. Some few waqiyas of the steadfastness of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the awliya Allah. One particular individual that a person should look when he comes to steadfastness is none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When he, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was made the Khalifa, he gave a khutbah and he said, "Oh people, that assist me, I am a human being, I will make mistakes. But if I remain steadfast, then praise Allah and assist me. But if I err, then correct me." Imagine, this was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that is speaking. Now, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, we know when he came to the haram, there were about 83 of them. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and wanted to proclaim his tawheed and iman and give a sermon in the haram. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, we are very few at the moment, so don't do it." But Abu Bakr kept insisting. And then he stood up after giving permission. He stood up and he started the first khutbah and sermon in Islam that was given in the Haram Sharif. And no sooner he started speaking, the mushrikeen pounced on him. And they hit him to such an extent that his entire face became disfigured. And they took him home in this condition. His mother Umm Khair was there. Abu Quhafa, his father, was there. And then when they saw that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu opened his eyes, so they asked him, Oh Abu Bakr, how are you? Why don't you have something to eat? But what was Abu Bakr's response? How is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He's not worried about anything. He's not worried about the food. And they insisted, and they became upset, Abu Bakr. So look at your condition and you worry about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he tells Umm Khair, his mother, go ask Umm Jamil, what is the condition of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Umm Jamil comes and informs that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is well, he's in the house of Arkam. He said, "But a qasam of Allah, I will not eat a morsel of food until unless that I see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically." So at that night when things were calm, when there was less movement, they took Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, he kissed him and hugged him. Sahaba radiallahu anhu followed suit. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, respected brothers, was that Sahabi. After the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became a Khalifa. He faced many challenges. When as the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu to go out and wage jihad against the Romans, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Usama, "Go out, proceed in the name of Allah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Usama radiallahu was getting ready, but at that time it was a very critical time. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming towards his maradul wafat, the sickness that led towards his death. And at the same time, few muhajirin objected to him being the amir. He was a youngster. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got wind of this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a bandage over his head because he was sick. He left all this. He went to the masjid, ascended the minbar, and he reprimanded the sahaba radiallahu anhu, and he said that, "How is it I'm hearing statements of you, O muhajirin, regarding Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu? If you have objected to him, then surely you have objected to regarding his father, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, in the past." And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him understand the virtues of Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu. So nevertheless, cutting the story short, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him the day before that Usama radiallahu anhu comes, and he enters the house, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can't see because of weakness. And then Usama radiallahu anhu bends down, he kisses Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts his hand towards the sky, passes it over the head of Usama. This was the indication that Usama understood that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him again, "Proceed in the name of deen, in the blessings of deen." So Usama radiallahu anhu, his jamaat, he goes. And then when he comes to a certain place called Jurf, then the messenger comes and he gives the message that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very critical now. He is at the time where he is in his last stages. So at that moment also, Usama radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqas, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, they all come. And then it so happened, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. Now the critical time for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after he adopted the Khilafat, after his Khilafat, he became the Khalifa. At that time, respected brothers, people turned renegade, apostate, people renounced their deen. And at that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made sure that Usama that should go out. Umar radiallahu anhu comes and he tells, "Oh Abu Bakr, why don't you hold this Jamaat back so that they can repel the evil of these Murtadeen?" And then when everything is suppressed and everything is back to normal, then you can send this Jamaat. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "But a qasam of Allah, even if the dogs had to come to me," because Umar radiallahu anhu also mentioned that if this Jamaat has to go, then mostly women and children will remain behind. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "But a qasam of Allah, I continuously heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that let this Jamaat of Usama proceed." And he said, "But a qasam of Allah, if the dogs and the wild animals have to come attack me and devour my body, I will make sure that Usama radiallahu anhu's Jamaat goes out." The second challenge that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu faced was those people who refused to give zakat. At that time, Umar radiallahu anhu came and decided that these people are just newly people who have come into the fold of Islam. At least accept their salah from them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, just as salah is the haq of the body, then zakat is the haq of the wealth. And even if they refuse to give one string which they used to give to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will wage jihad against them. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told Umar that ajabbarun fil jahiliya wa khawwarun fil Islam. You were the tyrant in the days of jahiliya, but when you came to Islam, now are you like a coward? Ayankusu deen wa ana hay? Is there any compromise in deen? Any nooks in deen? Deficiency in deen whilst I'm alive? This can never happen. So look at the istiqamah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He had to face so many challenges. And subhanallah, the Jamaat went out. Time does not permit, but the Jamaat went out. There were 3,000 of them, 1,000 horses. And through the barakat of this Jamaat, they defeated the Romans. And those who were murtad, those who became renegades and apostates, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to come, revert back to the fold of Islam. So imagine the barakat of the istiqamah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. In the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are so many virtues. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that يَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ, such a time will come upon the people that أَصَّابِرُ عَلَى دِينِهِمْ, that the person who is practicing his deen and is making sabr, كَالْقَابِلِ عَلَى الْجَمْرِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like burning a burning ember, like a charcoal. The other ulama explained, it seems as though there is a contradiction. On one hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that to practice upon deen will be like holding an ember, a burning charcoal in your hand. Yes. On the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that deen is yusrun. The ulama muhaddithin explained that this depends on the environment. Where the environment is evil and where is corruption, when there is fitnas, then to practice upon deen at that moment will become difficult. But where deen is conducive, where alhamdulillah these darul ulooms, there are makatis, there are jamaats that are going out in the path of Allah, there are khankas, there are mashaykh or akabirin, these are all the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to practice upon deen becomes very, very easy. In other hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Zubair bin Adi radiallahu anhu, some Sahaba radiallahu anhu came to Anas radiallahu anhu and he started complaining regarding Hajjaj bin Yusuf. We know the atrocities that he had committed, so he started complaining to Anas radiallahu anhu. So Anas radiallahu anhu said, "Be steadfast, persevere, have sabr, because if every error that will dawn upon you will be far more worse than the previous error." And this I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this will happen till the day of Qiyamah. So fitnas abound will come. Trials and tribulations will come. Do we throw the towel in? Do we compromise our deen? No, respected brothers. At that moment, we remain steadfast on the haqq. We will promote the haqq. And we will remain on haqq till our last breath, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Time is already up. One of my friends in Marisburg is marhum now. He is a teacher. So, you know, you always tell me, Malana, I know you got a problem. I said, what problem? He said, you prepare too much. And you try to bring everything in that 25, 30 minutes. So I thought I prepared less in 45 minutes, but I got still more to say. Allah put more barakat in our evening time, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.